B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mabb.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mabb.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
So in the 2 years you've been here, and I ask you the question now, is Tom Brady what you thought he was? What would you say?
I would say no. I had hints of it. I could tell he was very scripted and stuff. But I was just, like everyone, just so enamored with how great he was that I just loved watching him and probably didn't care what he was like. You know, I mean, I loved watching him, great quarterback, and then just kind of sad to see that there's not more there.
Fourth and final hour, Felger and Mabb. Again, Mike is out today, so Jim Murray has slid over. He is alongside Joe Murray here to give us headlines. I am broadcasting to you from my home studio here, and Murray are at the studio in Dorchester. We will take your calls here largely in the final hour of the program. I just wanted to tell you quickly again, that was Tom Keegan of the Boston Herald. We had him on in the last hour talking about Tom Brady and the news that Brady has a documentary coming out next year in conjunction with ESPN, who just did The Last Dance with Michael Jordan. Also, Gautam Chopra involved in the project. He, Murray, we call Chopra a producer or director. Not that it really matters.
Oh.
Okay, let's call him the producer. Gautam Chopra, the producer of the Tom vs. Time on Facebook Live. And 199 Productions also involved. That is the production company that Brady recently formed, named for the place where he was selected in the 2000 draft. He was the 199th pick of the draft. So we'll get to that. We'll also touch on the latest developments in the NBA, which now has seemingly a concrete plan in place for returning to the court. We'll get to that this hour. We'll also play for you some sound from Christopher Mad Dog Russo, who shockingly believes that the MLB Players Union is a bunch of liars. Joining the rest of us, and I say shockingly in facetious, sarcastic terms, because I'm with Mad Dog, and I just think it's a rant worth listening to, because nobody does it quite like Mad Dog does. So 617-779-0985, unless Murray and Murray have something to add, we'll get right to the calls. You guys good?
Let's do it.
Have at it, Mass.
Okay, here we go. We'll kick it off with Sam, who's in Haverhill on Brady. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, hey, listen, I got a little problem over here.
Okay.
Brady's the greatest. No doubt about it. He's number one. You guys are putting wood on the fire. You're adding to him being famous. Let him do what he wants to do. Don't talk about it. It gives him free publicity.
Okay, yeah. So I see your point, Sam. I was going to say, we talk about everybody and everything all the time. And the thing that started it all this week with Brady was certainly his putting on the market of a product called Protect, which allegedly will enhance the immune system. That is what prompted the column by Tom Keegan. This news of the documentary really comes on top of that. It just seems like, to me, Tom Brady can't get enough of himself out there right now. That's all. The thing with the Protect and the immune, you know, enhancing your immunity, to me, is as shady and sleazy as it gets. Again, he's entitled to do what he wants, but I think it's beneath Brady, really, to do something like that when clearly he doesn't need the money, at least not for that product. If he's given the money to charity or something, that's something different, but I haven't read anything to suggest that.
No, it's just putting more money in he and Alex Guerrero's pocket. And so if you want to pop on Instagram and go on your stories and give people tips about how to try to manage your stress, sleep better right now so you can build up your immune system, like, fine. You know, initially when he did that, when this whole thing started a few months back, I was like, all right, what are you doing here? Is this trying to just get traffic to TB12sports.com or whatever? And so, fine, no, it was just him giving tips. So that I can live with. It's when you name something Protect so that you can feed on gullible people and charge $50 for what you can buy at CVS for half the price. Like, it's just gross.
I am so sick of Brady, I can't even begin to express it.
But in the way, though, like, he's in Tampa Bay right now. He can do whatever he wants. Like, the people, besides him running in a park and saying, no, you can't run in the park, like, the guy. They want him there. He's like going to be their savior.
Oh, for
so
sure.
At this point, he can do and say whatever he wants.
Oh yeah, no. This is if whatever Tampa sports radio there is down there, they're loving this because like, oh my god, this is great. See, Tom's trying to save us. Is what he's trying to do. I need to buy me some protection.
Once again, Murray's impressions, the best part of the show. Tom's in Quincy. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I have a question about this whole nine-part miniseries, whatever the hell they call it, docuseries. I find it odd that a guy that's still playing is putting out a docuseries like going back over his whole career when he's still going to be playing in the league is weird.
I agree.
The comparisons with the Manning thing, which I agree, you know, Manning became insufferable, you know, 10, 15 years ago because, yeah, he whored himself out to all comers as far as all endorsements, and Brady was doing the beauty rest bed or whatever. But now, the only thing Brady pitches is himself. Manning's got a little bit of comic ability, and he's, you know, like he's a goober, you know, he's a southern, you know, whatever, hey y'all type thing. Brady's is just like me. And it's like, enough of me. I've seen the Brady versus time or Tom versus time. I've seen that the last thing that I needed to see about Brady as far as NFL Network or whatever was the Brady Six. That wrapped him up to a T back then. All this thing that has happened since he's left here now, because I feel like all this crap's been lined up forever, knowing that he wasn't coming back. And it was kind of like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be here next year. Let's start it going. Let's rekindle all the horrible relationships that I've had with all these media members when I was a member of the Pats, be it ESPN or Goodell or whoever. And I think Beadle had the quote of the day early. I heard him and Zoe. He goes, yeah, he goes, he's on the path of having a Zoom call next week hosted by Jim Gray with Ted Wells.
So, Tom, look, I think you've nailed it. The only thing Brady is selling us right now or pitching right now is himself. And that's the difference. We had someone, you know, Chris and Raynham get all bent out of shape when we started criticizing Brady. And look, I get it. Chris is a big Brady supporter. He wants people to go after Belichick, which is fine. But that's the difference between Brady and Manning. Right now, the only thing that Brady is pitching is himself. Himself. That's the only thing he's pitching. Cam's in Taunton. Go ahead, Cam.
Let me preface this by saying, besides Mike and Wubert and Danny from Quincy, there's probably no two callers that dislike each other more than me and Chris. But that call was tremendous. Guys, for the last 2 months, I feel like I've been listening to Belichick state propaganda radio. I mean, for crying out, Brady's been gone 2 months. I can't think of one thing time you said, you know, how much of this is on Kraft? How much of this is on Bill? It's just 2-6, let's pound the crap out of Brady. Yes, Brady became a pain in the ass. Yes, he became a diva. Bill and Kraft made mistakes here, too, and that's why this fell apart early. It's not all on Bill. Again, these last two, you guys didn't even have a day to say, you know, we just watched the greatest player of all time for 20 years. Let's reflect on everything. You didn't even do that. It's just rip the living crap out of Brady every day for 2 months now and not say a word about Bill and Kraft. All Brady. I was with him. Sorry.
Okay, now look, again, Cam, you're entitled to that. He calls the program all the time. I'll give him his say, Murray. He's allowed to have it.
And I would don't lump me in there. I've been pretty fair to Brady for the most part, I feel like.
Well, the other thing I would tell you is that when it came to Belichick took more than a share of criticism from us at draft time on this particular thing and chasing Brady out of town. Do I think the Patriots mishandled it? Yes, I also happen to think it's best for the franchise. Maybe you don't. So maybe that's one of the core reasons why we're on opposite sides of this. I think the Patriots are going to be better off in the long run. And don't kid yourself. See, you should be happy, Kim. Because you know what? And Chris and Raynham, too, for that matter. You should both be happy because this is good for Brady. Brady's better off in Tampa. He's going to be motivated again, clearly, because he's working out with his teammates again. And he would have gone to OTAs if they had him. So if you're really a Brady supporter, you should be happy. Because this thing has lit a fire under Brady again. Brady now wants to play more than he's ever wanted to play in recent years. So it's a good thing for Brady. I don't understand why you're so upset about it. I think it's good for the Patriots, too, and so should you. Because the guy that was here the last couple of years wasn't all in. He wasn't. That much I do agree with Felger on. Now, you know, not everything I agree with him on, despite what people like you think. Our buddy Wayne's in Grafton. Go ahead, Wayne.
I love you guys. Murray. And Maz, it's like a bag full of M&Ms, melts in your hands and not in your mouth. Bada boom. But Brady, you know, I'm tired of Brady. You know, everybody, you know, they call him Tommy Terrific and Tommy Boy. You know, he has to lighten up. He hasn't got the cure for everything. He's a Tampa Bay Buck now. I call him Tommy Tampon. Peace out.
Well, you knew again. You knew it would turn somewhere like that with Wayne Murray.
Always does.
But look, you know, the thing with Brady, we played that Keegan cut at the beginning of the segment, and I think Keegan nails it. Keegan's only been here a couple of years. Tom Keegan, the columnist of the Boston Herald, and they said, is Brady what you thought he would be? And he said no. Before getting here, he was enamored with Brady, the player. He was intrigued by the success, all of that. And you know who acts like that? A fan. A fan. And again, from the outside, Keegan was probably more a fan. Then when he started to see Brady the person, he recognized that there wasn't as much there as he thought he was. I mean, really, the selling of the Protect, now the documentary, it's like all of it makes you, it does make you start to wonder how much of this stuff is really hollow. A lot of it is hollow stuff. The only thing that Brady has been selling us of late is himself. That's it. He's selling himself. At some point, I don't understand how you can just keep accepting it. I know what he's done as a player, but can you see the reality of it? God, that's irritating. Jimmy's in Brighton. Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, I love you guys. But I got to differentiate myself from Chris. I mean, I'm not upset like the guy before me either. I love both of these guys. I love Belichick. I love Brady. I think I'm going to be watching more Tampa Bay games than Pats games, I think, to be honest. And I can't get enough of Brady. I can't get enough of Belichick. They're hilarious. I mean, they're just in their own world. They do their own thing. They're going separate ways now. I agree with what you just said more than ever.
Yeah, Jimmy, I'm going to let you go because I don't know where you're going with it. So,
I agree with that. I'm glad that they went their separate ways. Prior to last season, I didn't feel that way. But the way after that whole thing played out and Brady was miserable, you know, I always go to this. As early as week three, when they win in Buffalo, he treated that like it was a loss. And then we find out after the fact, and going into the game against Houston, he's the most miserable quarterback, 8-0 quarterback in the league, he said at the time. Like, it just was over. It was time. It was time to break up.
I would never refer to Brady and Belichick as being quote-unquote hilarious.
My biggest thing is, though, is like you guys yesterday were bringing up, did they, like, give up another year or, you know, miss another championship here? I just don't think we've ever seen a player and a coach move on from each other like this, right? Because Phil Jackson moved on from Jordan, but Jordan essentially retired and played for the Wizards years later. Phil ended up winning another championship down the line, but I can't remember another pair like this that separated and are still polarizing figures that could both still be successful where they're at now.
And you know, when I think about what the criticisms from Chris and Cam, and they're entitled to them. Again, the whole show, the nature of the show, the idea of this show is built on that. So I'm not trying to, I just disagree with them. And I look at Brady's career at the Patriots, and you look at what he was when he started. 199 Productions is the name of his production company because he was the 199th pick in the draft. And that's the reason we loved Brady, because he never acted bigger than the team. Because he came out of nowhere, he filled the spot, he was a team guy. We celebrated all of that. Now all he does is feed you himself. And nobody wants to call him on that. Like, somehow it's okay. And look, I understand the evolution that took place with Tom Brady and what he became. Just don't tell me he's the same guy at the end that he was at the beginning, because he's not. That's the part that's frustrating. I mean, if you can't call that for what it is, then why even have the discussion? We all know the guy was a great player. Who doesn't know that? But at the end, his value system's a little different, don't you think? Some interesting news in the NBA, too. We'll get to that next, and we'll continue with your calls when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Teams are preparing that they're going to start recalling their players in the marketplace. Many players have returned, have stayed at marketplace, are working out of facilities. Many more around the league have to return. And the league is not going to call the players back to quarantine and then start to ramp up for training camp unless they've made the decision to move forward on resuming the season. And barring something unforeseen, Sage, at this point, that is the league's plan to move forward and play games again this season and try to crown a champion.
So again, that's Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN. We played that for you earlier today, an interview that he did with Sage Steele of the four-letter network. He had a similar interview this morning with Mike Greenberg on the Get Up program. I'll just give you the particulars of the NBA's plan and then go right back to your phone calls. The NBA on June 1st will recall all players, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. 2 weeks of quarantining will take place, which takes them into the middle of June. And then over the next month, basically a week of individual workouts, a week or two, and then 2 or 3 weeks of team workouts, effectively training camp, and then they'll start games, which puts the projected start of the NBA season in the middle of July. July 15th, most teams in the NBA have played right around 65 games. The magic number there is 70 for some of the regional TV deals. And the NBA will also probably institute some sort of playoff format that brings, call it, 20 teams back instead of the full 32. And this is, you know, a little bit of what I'm hearing from a mole. So I don't know if all 32 are coming back, but they may have a structure similar to the NHL or the proposed NHL plan where the 7-8 seeds and the current 9-10 seeds in each conference would play for a spot in the playoffs. Maybe there'd be some sort of round robin that also takes place involving the higher seeds so they can get back on the floor, and then the playoffs will begin. And if all of that takes place, you're looking at an end of the basketball season that would probably be sometime in October, either at the beginning or even end of October, depending on how some of that stuff goes. So that is the current plan in the NBA. No small thing, given that there were more details involved. And it sounds like that sport is prepared to come back and play. That is not, you know, anything official, concrete. But again, coming from Adrian Wojnarowski, as we all know, his reputation as an NBA reporter is impeccable. It's something I think you should take quite seriously. We'll go back to your calls now here. And Tony in Holbrook on the return of the NHL. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. And also thanks for all of you, from the guys on camera and off camera, for giving us normality. And also, do you guys think that the Bruins will get a short end of the stick and the season will not continue?
Tony, thanks for the call and thanks for the kind words. Murray, what do you think?
I mean, I tend to think, based on the plan that they've been talking about, the NHL as a whole, that they will come back. I don't think that the Bruins are going to get the short end of the stick on paper. They will when they end up having to play the Montreal Canadiens, because I, like the guy who's normally in this seat, am terrified of the Montreal Canadiens because of the historic just nightmare that they've been for the Bruins as a franchise. So even though that they suck and they would have no business making the playoffs, but they would under this new plan, I am terrified of them.
I'm still worried about the NHL. I'm not sure if it comes back. I go back to that poll from The Athletic just from a couple of weeks ago. 12% of the players in the league said they didn't want to come back. So, like, that concerns me. I think the other percentage said they'd want to go straight to the playoffs. I know Pierre Maguire was in Boston earlier today, and he said there's still major issues to figure out. So I'm concerned for the NHL. I really am. But I think the NBA... we'll figure this thing out. And just one thing I wanted to add, I mentioned it in headlines, but Spencer Dinwiddie plays for the Nets. He basically tweeted today, practice is going to start the week of July. Wow. And then July 15th, that's when they'll have those play-in games for some of those teams, and the season will get underway from there.
Yeah, that is roughly the plan, Murray, right? If you sort of you lay it out, they report June 1, 2 weeks off, and then practices on July 1st, which means 2 weeks of individual workouts, a couple of weeks of team workouts, and then they start playing again in the middle of July, which is effectively similar to what Wojnarowski reported today. See, I am not that worried about the NHL. Joe Murray, just quickly, because the 12% that you're talking about in that poll, might be from the worst teams in the league. Why would you want to come back if the games don't mean anything?
Yep. Yeah, and the way they polled it was teams that were a lock, some teams that were already out of it. But, yeah, I mean, I just wonder if they can find a place. Like, the NBA already found Orlando, right? So where's the NHL eventually going to end up in this one? And I know there's talks of Arizona and other places, but we'll see.
Yeah.
A lot more travel, too.
And the NBA plan also, and this I think the NHL deserves credit for, it feels like the NBA plan, if it's one that Wojnarowski outlined, really is something like what the NHL had outlined. So it feels like the NHL was actually ahead of the curve there and leading the way. Ron is in Medford. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, how you doing, fellas? Listen, I agree with you with, you know, Brady pushing the product and the name of it and everything and the timing of it, but it would be kind of interesting if we actually heard somebody who has real expertise on what this product is. Because, I mean, if it works, if it does what it says it's doing, that's another thing entirely. And one other thing I wanted to say before I hang up.
Hey, Ron, just quickly, Ron, let me just interject here and tell you that more than one reporter out there has followed up on Brady's supplement, if that's what you want to call it, and spoken to experts who say that it feels like the product is making claims that it couldn't possibly be true. So anyway, go ahead.
It's too bad.
Those stories are out there is the point, Ron. Those stories are out there already.
Yeah. I think one of the things that's always going to stick in Patriot fans' craw with the Brady thing is that I think the average fan looks at it as, if they had signed him to two more years and just put a couple of competent weapons on the offensive side of the ball, nothing all-worldly, not Larry Fitzgerald, not anybody who's, you know, an all-world, you know, wide receiver, but if they had added a couple of competent pieces, I think fans feel like we could have gotten two more years of really exciting football deep into the playoffs. And, you know, it just feels like they had a couple of years left on the table. You know?
Okay, so Ron, I'm going to let you go because this is what we talked about yesterday, Murray.
Maybe, but it just wasn't going to happen. You could have signed Emmanuel Sanders back, Emmanuel Sanders this offseason as a free agent, or, you know, drafted a better wide receiver than Akil Harry last year. The bottom line is he wasn't showing up to OTAs the last couple of years. What was the reason? And now that he's doing it in Tampa, he's motivated to practice and play in Tampa. He wasn't motivated to play in New England the last couple of years. What's the answer? What's the common denominator? It's Bill Belichick. So that was never going to change. It was because Bill wasn't going to change. So even if you brought in guys like that, nothing was going to be different. It was done. It was over.
So his only point, though, Murray, I think, is that the fans that are defending Brady, this is what they're mad at Belichick for, that they could have gotten a couple more years out of it if Bill had been willing to appease Tom a little bit. And look,
in a perfect world, but that was never going to happen.
Well, so I'm with you on that. But I understand what their point of view is on that, and had the Patriots been willing to give Brady a contract 2 years ago, you know, and again, the easy one is after the Philadelphia Super Bowl. Had they extended him then, he'd still be here and they wouldn't have an issue and fans would be happy. And maybe that's the big thing. Not that that's the important thing, but fans would be happy. Matt's in Sudbury. Matt, what do you got?
Good afternoon, guys. Totally with you on this one, Tony. For Tom, go be a quarterback in Tampa Bay and focus on the Hollywood crap, you know, down the line. The reason The Last Dance is so great because it's been a couple decades and, you know, there's just some nostalgia with it, but I think he's a total dink for doing this early. Thanks, guys.
So, Matt, again, my only point is that it feels to me like Brady, the guy, isn't the same guy that he was at the beginning, and I don't know that he could be. And I don't know how many times I've said this, but I'll say it again just for those people that keep accusing me of being on the Belichick side of it. The fact that it lasted this long is a damn near miracle. It's extraordinary that it lasted as long as it did. So I'll tell you, Brady put up with more than a lot of guys would, probably more than any other guy would have. But if we're going to say which guy changed more over the 20 years, Brady did. His needs became greater. He became more high maintenance. He became more of a diva. And Belichick, maybe Belichick should have acquiesced to that. He didn't. Belichick has been something far closer to what he's been from the beginning than Brady has. So I just, the self-promotion with Brady, you would think a guy at this stage of his life wouldn't need to self-promote as much as he does. He's just stuffing it down your throat every chance he gets. At some point, you get sick of it, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the Brady propaganda, the Brady message. It's like some of you have been sucked into a cult by believing in him the way you do. It's a little frightening sometimes, if you ask me. Anyway, Joe Murray's here. He's got your headlines. Jim Murray and I will be back, and when we come back, I've been telling you this all day, Mad Dog Russo went off on the Major League Baseball Players Association. I think it's great. As only Mad Dog could do it. We'll play that for you when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You can listen to Felger and Mazz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Why don't we hear another word now from the Player Association? What a disgrace. They knew right from the get-go that the letter and the exchange and the agreement that was made in March regarding the whole thing and the 50-50 revenue split, that they knew that it would have to be renegotiated and changed if there was a situation, and in late March, who knew that there would be no fans at the ballpark. One more time, I reminded him of Rob's comments at the outset, that playing in empty stadiums did not work for us economically. But I said, for example, that we might be willing to have a conversation about playing some limited number of games in empty stadiums if players agreed to reduce their daily salaries for those games. So we're off this now. This 50-50 revenue split is finished. I don't want to hear another word. It is absolutely, I don't want to hear another player moan and groan. I don't want to hear Clayton Kershaw and Dan Patrick. I don't want to hear Ian Snell or Blake Snell, whatever his name is down there. I don't want to hear Bryce Harper. I don't want to hear Boris. I don't want to hear another word. The union knew that if they were going to play games in an empty stadium, they knew that they were going to have to take a price reduction. They knew it. So all of them can go to hell. Go to hell. That's garbage. And I got Tony Clark telling the whole world, how dare Manfred try to jam a salary cap bias through the revenue spy during a global pandemic when they asked for confirmation in the original agreement what this all meant, and the commissioner's office gave them, and they said, yeah, that's what we thought, thanks a lot. And now since then they made a big stink about the 50-50 thing. Go to hell, all of you. Go to hell.
Something about that phrase that I like, Murray. I use it myself every now and then.
Go to hell.
Oh, really, though?
He said everything Chris, but Belichick in that comment.
Oh, God. Seriously. I just...
I care about Ian Snell, Blake Snell, Ryan Harper. I mean, that's real passion and hate. Sorry to cut you off, but, like, you know him as. I mean, you've worked with him at the MLB Network, and you've known him a long time. Like, in a little bit I know, just as a listener, like, he is more passionate about baseball than anything. He lives and dies with the San Francisco Giants. So he just wants his game back. So I get the frustration.
Oh, it's, and I agree with him. The players' union on this one, to me, they lost me a long time ago. Go to hell is right. So Christopher Mad Dog Russo offering his 2 cents. Murray, what'd you think of the technology he's using at home for his radio show? That doesn't sound too good, does it?
I didn't really even notice.
Well, oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, you should listen to that audio off air then.
Was it just really choppy? I don't know.
No, it's a little grainy. Oh. A little grainy is how I would describe it. Is that, dare I say that we have much better technology than Mad Dog does?
Probably.
Yeah. So just, I was
still. Still, he's winning. I live in Greenwich, Connecticut, Fairfield County.
I expected better technology, a better connection for Mad Dog working from his home. Sounds like we have the better technology. Maybe we can help him out with that. David's in Haverhill. David, what do you got?
Hey, how's it going, guys? So I never thought I'd agree with Mad at all. And then all of a sudden, the whole LeBron-Brady comparison, I absolutely love it. Ever since last year with all of the press conferences, it just reminded me of LeBron just talking down about teammates or whatnot, or just saying, like, hey, like, I don't pick who I play with. And I kind of expected it from NBA players, but ever since Brady's been, like, pushing the brand, it's kind of bridging the gap between the NBA and the NFL, which is just totally annoying because in the NFL, they just seemed a lot more professional and less drama queens. But then also just, I totally am totally for Felger out and then the Murrays and Madsen.
Ah, well, we want Mike back, David. So thank you for saying that nonetheless, and I appreciate you agreeing with me finally. I would tell you to say welcome to the dark side. So I just, you know, and I'm not the first one, by the way, to draw a comparison between Brady and LeBron. We've done it on this program multiple times. It might have been a caller who first did it, Murray. I don't remember if you do.
I forget. I mean, I know that Mike is, was it Kyrie, I think, he kind of made a parallel there, too. I don't know. I just don't think those two are such DBs that might be a bit much. He's turned into Marino at the end, though. Not that that's that great either, but, you know, he's definitely become a little bit more me first, and he's not the guy that he was in the first 10 years of the dynasty. That's for damn sure.
Totally. Again, and he's become me first. Boy, which caller said it? It was a great way to put it. Peyton Manning used to sell you Bud Light, Papa John's, Tom and Quincy, I think it was. Brady, all Brady sells us now is himself. That's it. That's the only thing he sells us now is himself. Woody is in Norwood. Woody, what do you got?
Hey, so I don't get kind of the defense of Brady by a lot of the Brady Bobos right now. I think that Brady has been transitioning into what Jim, I think, has referred to before as an eccentric weirdo for the past, 10 years, and that now that he's on another team, I don't see the need to continue to defend him or turn a blind eye to that, and I'll just hang up and listen to you guys talk about that.
Okay, so Woody, that's the thing then, right? It's all about what the uniform he's wearing. That you'll defend it if he's wearing your uniform, but as soon as he's not, you won't defend it. He'll acknowledge he's a reality. But I'll at least give you credit for this much. Now that he's changed uniforms, you notice it. The people that are still defending Brady somehow are pretending this change has not taken place. I mean, Murray, to me, it feels indisputable.
Or that it happened overnight, which it hasn't. I mean, this has been going on for years now. And it's just, people have blind spots for it because I get it. Like, he's been so transcendent and so great to watch. You feel like he's infallible. And he's brought us more joy than any of us ever thought possible. He's my favorite athlete of all time. But off the field, he is an unrelatable weirdo. More by the day.
Joe Murray, do you think Brady's an unrelatable weirdo?
Absolutely. He reminds me of like Tom Cruise in like the late 90s, early 2000s. But just real quick, how'd you feel about Rob Gronkowski, though, when he was doing his thing? Like, obviously, he retired for a year, but he was pitching CBD and, doing all these other stuff, the Super Bowl party. Was he just more likable or was because he wasn't playing? Is that why he could get away with it for a little bit?
Joe, I was sick of Gronk at the end, too, and I think Jim Murray will vouch for me on this. Yeah. I was so tired of Gronk's act by the end of it. They couldn't get rid of him fast enough as far as I was concerned because it was like what they had to go through every time Gronk had an injury and deal with him, let alone the offseason. So he strung them along last year until he decided to retire. The fact that they didn't have a tight end, fans want to bitch at the fact that the Patriots didn't replace Gronk. Gronk screwed them. Now, Belichick's mistake in that was letting Gronk string them along. So maybe that's why he wasn't going to go through the same thing with Brady. But the fans that want to defend Gronk, congratulations. He screwed the team last spring. Sorry, Murray. I wanted to add something.
I don't know. That's okay.
Okay. Let's go to Tyler, who's in Leominster. Tyler, what do you got?
Hey, how we doing, guys? First time, long time. I just wanted to touch on one of the callers before the break said about the documentaries comparing them, the Jordan and Brady. I mean, the Jordan documentary came out 20 years after the fact, everything had happened, and the documentary was amazing. It had it had everything in it. What do you think we're going to get in the Brady documentary? We're not going to get Belichick's side, obviously. How is he going to get an interview with, I don't know. I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
No, it's a good question, Tyler. Murray, what do you think?
I mean, for this thing to be announced now, there's already a trailer for it. It leads me to believe, and especially if you're going to put out 9 episodes of it, they were filming last year. They had to have been. So
you would think.
You're going to get some of that, but it'll be one-sided. It'll be Brady's frustration about trying to work with, lack of weapons or whatever it is. His frustrations with the offense. And maybe, in a perfect world, you'll hear him say, I knew early it wasn't going to work, or I knew early. There's going to be some meat on the bone in terms of his frustration, why he wanted out, why it didn't work. Whether that'll happen or not, that'll remain to be seen. I don't feel great about it, considering how much of a puff piece I thought that Tom versus Time was. You had to really dig a little deep and read into things, you know, like him revving the engine when Giselle's that kind of thing, and when he's getting worked on by Alex Guerrero. Yeah,
that's what I want.
Yeah.
More Guerrero rubdown.
Yeah, the rubdowns, but it's in that room where it's the suite with all like the Sterno cans and everything around that Gasper always goes to, that he feels like that was purposely put in there to be like, see, I'm being mistreated. So there might be little things like that, little subtle things you got to read into, but overall, I don't know. I'm not expecting much, considering what he's put out before.
Joe Murray, just quickly, is that supposed to come out next year?
Yeah, 2021.
2021. Does it say spring or fall? Does it say either?
It just says next year.
Okay. So, because I don't know, I suppose there's a possibility but that by the time this thing comes out, is there any chance Brady's career will be over? In other words, is there a chance that he'll have only 1 year in Tampa and that'll be the end of it?
Mm, maybe.
But I mean, I'm not predicting that. I'm just asking. So, it's something to consider, I suppose. But, you know, I don't know how you go out and look for a 2-year contract while you're filming this thing and think that it's going to air after your career is over. It feels to me like I'm with you guys. I think that Brady knew. I think that they've probably been shooting it for some time already. If there is a trailer, then, you know, not that it takes a lot to get a trailer. But I think that they it's been in the works. Maybe he did it with the knowledge that he was going to leave the Patriots, and it was a good time to do it. Maybe it adds further evidence. Maybe this is what I'm getting at, Murray, is that it's further evidence, rather, that Brady knew before the season that he was gone.
Yeah.
Right? That in all likelihood, that's it. I'm out of here. So you want me to do some sort of retrospective on my time with the Patriots? I'll do it now. You can take some stuff from the final year. If we end up going to the Super Bowl, great, but that's not going to happen in all probability. And so I'll commit to the project, and we'll see where it takes us. I just find it.
9 episodes, though, if nothing else. Like, does it have to be that much?
You know, I'm sure it's a lot of interviews, right? It's a lot of interviews, and you're talking long interviews for each season. You're not talking about 10 minutes on each season.
But even some of this Jordan thing, like 10 episodes, it was a bit much. You could have done it in 5.
Oh, I agree. I thought the Jordan thing dragged on. And by the end of it, I had enough. Jimmy Stewart, do we have one more caller on the line or no?
We do not.
Okay, so no more calls. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back. We'll play the final word for you. And we do have a case today of when hosts are not listening. In fact, in this case, it might have been multiple hosts. Mm. Not listening. We'll play that for you when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For guaranteed lowest prices on tires, go to Town Fair Tire, because nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Nope.
All right. Well, Maz is saying that there's a host or hosts who aren't listening today. I don't believe it.
I don't know if I do either.
But let's hear what we have today for when the hosts aren't listening.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
For those of you who don't know, just quickly, the man in the arena makes reference to a famous passage by Teddy Roosevelt saying that the credit really goes to people who are actually out there in the games, sweating, bleeding, et cetera, et cetera. Oops. You can look it up on the internet. I won't get into too much detail because if I read it, it'll put you to sleep, frankly. So let me ask Jim Murray, let me ask Joe Murray, and then I want your thoughts as well for those of you out there listening. 617. It is a little too soon. He's still playing.
Yeah.
He's still playing. The Jordan documentary came out 20 years after he retired. 20 years. 20
Well, look, a lot of that is because Jordan buried the video. Tom wants to sell you some immunity that goes for $45 for a 30-day supply. It's called Protect. Did you know that, Murray? Did you know that that's what it's called?
Yes,
Protect.
I did. Yes.
So it's Tom this, Tom that. Tom's working with his buddies in Tampa. Tom didn't want to go to OTAs. You haven't won a Super Bowl here yet. What are you doing documentaries for? What are you, just coming down here to sit on the boat and retire and cash the checks? Because that's what it feels like now. If I'm a Tampa Bay fan, I'd be pissed if I were a Buccaneers fan. Pissed. So now, conveniently,
I mean, all of a sudden, those people probably are pumped. You know, they're getting, you know, 5 primetime games. They're relevant for the first time and wrap up your career. You're putting this in my face. Yeah,
I am starting to think this guy's one of the great self-promoters in the history of sports. Mm-hmm. Holy crap.
Get ready for this weekend. Already.
How many documentaries do we need on this guy when he's still playing? Tom, I'll tell you what. Why don't you tell us what's going on next? And that sort of stuff. But we're getting a documentary already? He's still playing. I mean, I'll watch the thing. Don't get me wrong, but... Good God, could you be more self-important and self-serving than Tom Brady has been over the last couple of years?
And Matt, just real quick, the man in the arena is a Theodore Roosevelt speech. He has in his room from Michigan in 95. It's a constant reminder to ignore the noise, buckle my chin strap, and battle through whatever comes my way.
Jimmy Stewart, do we have enough there for when hosts aren't listening?
Oh, sorry.
then it's both of us, because I didn't hear that
earlier
part either.
You said it. Well, whatever.
This has been How to Tell When the Hosts Aren't Listening.
All right, but what was the gap between when Maz actually said that in that segment to when Joe said it, though?
9 minutes.
All right.
See?
Okay.
There's got to be an over-under on that, right?
Okay.
So I was going to ask that question, too. Some time, there was a significant gap there in the middle. I will concede that. I think that based on the actual law that was written, Murray, that is not considered a violation. I think 9 minutes is too big a gap.
Yeah. We're going to set the under at like 2 minutes,
yeah.
140,
something like that. Like
so just quickly, because I'm sure, Murray, you probably get emails on this too, and I mean Jim Murray, obviously, no offense, Joe Murray,
but right.
Jim's obviously a regular part of the program. And, you know, in the Man in the Arena, it begins, it's a part of a speech that Teddy Roosevelt made, and it begins with, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, blah, blah, blah. A lot of listeners think that Brady is calling it this to take a shot at Belichick. That Belichick is the critic.
Is the critic.
Right. And the fact is that it has nothing to do with Belichick in this particular case. As Joe Murray pointed out, Brady had this passage in his dorm room at Michigan, which was obviously before he played for Belichick.
Or correct, he also Joe? Hated his Michigan coach.
Yeah.
Well, that is also a possibility. Yes. In fact, he would have good reason. It was, wasn't it Lloyd Carr?
Yeah,
the time,
it was, yeah.
Who wanted to play Drew Henson over Brady, right?
Yeah. See,
he
I like
probably hated him too.
Jimmy already figured it out. He's talked to his source. He hated Lloyd Carr, hated Belichick. That's
you know,
why
not,
he's using it.
Yeah, totally. Now that
I believe.
Maybe Belichick has always had a problem with coaches.
I wonder Brady. If Lloyd Carr fined Tom Brady for yelling at him, too.
Yeah, maybe. What was that, Jimmy?
Yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Scoops back there.
Interesting little thing you just kind of drop in there like a cherry bomb, Jimmy. Just drop that sucker right in there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.